Back here, your boy Q Myers, Scott Branson, Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. As we roll into a discussion now, we're going to bring on our good friend Jesse Merrick. Jesse covers the Raiders for News 3 in Las Vegas and joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Jesse, the big news, obviously, Cleveland Furl and LaMarcus Joyner are right now on the COVID reserve list. If they can test positive over the negative over the next 5 days, they can return to the field for the game Sunday. But a big curveball early in Chiefs week.
Definitely not what we were expecting to be talking about today, right?
No.
It's going to be interesting, but I guess if, you know, the silver lining there, you know, in terms of if Klee isn't available, we saw how well Arden Key played. So, you know, he's back, he's feeling better. You know, David Irvin, I heard you guys talking about him as well. He was another guy that flashed. So, along the defensive line, you know, they've got some guys that have been playing well. The big question would be if, you know, Joyner can't go, Amik Robertson, we've seen kind of hot and cold from him, so that'd be kind of a question mark as well, but we'll see. Hopefully it's just one of those things where they kind of came in contact with somebody and didn't test positive, and, you know, from there, and they're not really showing any symptoms or anything, then they'll have a shot to hopefully play on Sunday. But I know Raider Nation's probably going to have their breath, holding their breath a bit in the next days, that's for sure.
That's right.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, no, I was going to say, so Jesse, this is, you know, we're only going to talk about it in the early part of the show, and then we're going to move on. But the whole thing with the bus, right? The whole thing with the victory lap, you know, it's funny because you look at these guys, you look at the Chiefs who've done on-field celebrations this season after they were pounding the Jets, they're pounding other teams, and suddenly to think that they're getting angry about the Raiders taking an extra loop around Arrowhead Stadium. What do you make of that? Is it just, it's just a two veteran coaches playing off each other, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, the person that's on the top of the hill that always wins, doesn't lose very often, they're always kind of sore losers, and they can do whatever they want when they win, but somebody beats them, it's like, oh, they have no class if they do something. That's kind of how it always is, right? So I think that's maybe a situation like that, but I'm all for the extra lap making the bus drive for that. That's some next level pettiness from John Gruden. I'm here, and I thought that was hilarious.
No, it really was. And, you know, I know it's only Tuesday, and we're going to hear about it all week long, but, you know, Andy Reid and the Chiefs are really good coming off the bye. It's something that, like I said, we're going to hear about all week. Something that I thought was a factor at the beginning of the season, it made me, you know, doubt that the Silver and Black could pick up this victory on Sunday, but I've changed my mind just by the way that the Raiders are playing. I feel like they could pick up this win on Sunday. What is your gut feeling? Again, it's only Tuesday, but what's your gut feeling on this game?
I mean, my gut feeling is it's going to be hard to get the Chiefs twice, but I also didn't think they had it the first game. I'll be completely honest, and I don't think the people did. But they showed they can do it, so if that's the case, man, there's no reason that they can't do it again. It's just going to be tough because, you know, the Chiefs are going to be fully locked in, you know, and Mahomes is probably going to feel like he's got something he's got to prove to beat him, things like that. And, you know, the Chiefs aren't necessarily the team you want to really give any sort of motivation to, and they've got it. But again, you said, the Raiders they've brought off three straight. You know, the defense seems to be playing better. You know, we don't have an excuse for weather. They did it in a dome, and, yeah, it was against the Broncos team that's prone to turn the ball over. But a sign of a good team is the teams are supposed to, and so that's what they're doing. That's what they've started to do. And, again, those games within the division are not easy games no matter who you're playing. You got to be excited if you're a Raiders fan where they're at right now in this game. This is the best situation they could possibly be in as they face the Chiefs again, even though they are coming off a bye. That's definitely a tough draw. I know Gruden said, he was like, oh, yeah, it must be a coincidence that this happens like every time they play them off of a bye. But you just got to roll with it and take the cards you're dealt, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Jesse Merrick from News 3 in Las Vegas covers the Raiders, is here with us. And Jesse, this defense, you know, I think a lot of people, it's not a fully baked defense yet. They're still working out their kinks. They're still getting better, still trying to, I think, establish the identity of who they really are as a unit. And you have now, of course, the breaking news with the COVID situation with Furl and LaMarcus Joyner. But I really like what I've seen over the progression of these three games. Again, not 100% there, but if you're a Raider fan, you know, I saw some fans were dismissing the performance against the Broncos, and like you said, division games are tough. What have you seen mostly that gives you hope that this defense has turned the corner for good?
I've seen just them doing it in multiple ways, which has been nice. Like the diversity in the schemes that they're throwing out there. I mean, I talked to you guys about it last week or the week before about the way that they're using Jonathan Abram. I mean, that guy's all over the field. The way they blitz with him, that's what offenses have to for. And the way they're doing it with just different guys. I mean, obviously, Heath has come up big with the two interceptions. But then Morrow comes in and has a heck of a game. He looks like he's playing great, you know, has a real command of the system there and that whole deal. And then you have Kwiatkowski coming through with a pick. Nassib gets a pick. I mean, they're rotating guys on the defensive line, and all of them are being effective in their rushing and things like that. The thing that really stood out to me yesterday, what was it, Sunday, was the way the D linemen were shooting their gaps. I mean, how many times do we look up and see a D lineman in the backfield disrupting the handoff or making Drew Lock get uncomfortable and have to take off to the right or left? I mean, that was something that was really, you know, exciting to see the Raiders be able to get rolling, and that's what stuck out to me. And so the simple fact that they're executing better, which is something they've said, and I know it's kind of lame to say that you know, they just weren't executing before, but it's clear that they are, and it's clear that they're more comfortable in the offense. I mean, just the communication alone, you can tell the guys are talking, that they're sorting their way through different problems that the offense throws at them. Something we maybe didn't see earlier on in the season. They kind of looked lost at times, and I didn't see that as much over the last couple weeks here.
What are your thoughts on some guys on the defensive side of the ball that have been getting a lot of talk from Raider Nation? And that's Nicholas Morrow, the linebacker, then Jeff Heath. Both had pretty good games. Obviously, Heath came up with a couple interceptions. But what are your thoughts on those two guys moving forward as far as getting more playing time defensively?
Yeah, I mean, hey, the two people that everybody loves to go after the most got to be Eric Harris and Corey Littleton, right? I mean, those are two guys that people are like, all right, we got to see more out of them. And the two guys that are behind them that have come in and played more have played better. So, I mean, I think you have to give them more of a shot. Obviously, the situation with Littleton is a little tricky because of the money and everything that he was brought in to do. But if you go purely based off of what you've seen on tape, and it is a small sample size for Morrow, I think you got to give him more of a shot. Again, I thought that he seemed like he was around out there. You know, he had a nice command of the system. I believe he had five tackles, one sack, tackle box, he hit the QB twice. I mean, he was flying around. He got in there on a pressure with the pick to Nap. So that was big as well. So he came up big at big times in the game and helped, you know, elevate the guys around him. So I think he definitely deserves more time. And when you make plays the way that he does, you put the guy out there more. I mean, he's come up big at big times again. Think how crucial that pick was right before the half. That's if the interception gets the Chiefs, that seals the deal for them. I mean, a guy that does that, you have to throw him out there. And he's also been pretty good in coverage compared to how, you know, Eric Harris has been. And also Littleton, he's been one of the most inept guys in coverage, which sucks to say because that's what he's brought in to do. But, you know, Morrow didn't necessarily look like an all-star in coverage, but he definitely played a lot better in coverage against Fant and against the running backs as well.
Jesse Merrick, News 3, Las Vegas, joins us. Jesse, I said to Q earlier, he doesn't necessarily agree with me, I really think that this game against the Chiefs, the Raiders are going to have to win it in the air because I think they're going to key in on that run game. It's going to be, not that the Raiders won't be able to run the ball, I think they will to a certain degree, but I think they're going to have to win it through the air. They're going to have to get those big catches from Waller, from Ruggs, from Renfro, those guys. How do you see this game unfolding? Do you think it's going to be a shootout or do you think it's going to be more of a grind for both teams?
Well, I mean, purely based on the defense of the Raiders alone, as they're continuing to prove themselves, I think it'll be a shootout in that sense. But I think the Raiders, I think they need to win the game by throwing it and, you know, throwing it deep, things like that. They averaged, they had guys, I got the stats pulled up from the last game. They had guys that caught balls of 72 yards, 59, 42 yards, 23 yards, 23 yards. So, I mean, big chunk plays that they're having against the Chiefs here. And I remember after we watched that game, everyone's talking about how aggressive John Gruden was in his play calling and that, like, we hadn't seen that. So, like, very clear, they think they have to be aggressive in order to beat the Chiefs. I kind of side with Q on it. I think you make Pat Mahomes sideline and you play defense. You know, maybe they have a little more confidence in their defense going with this. You know, the big question is going to be, what's their plan? Do they continue to go after him and pressure him with unique looks like they've done the last couple weeks? Or do they sit back in coverage and rush four and you know, have about six out there and hope to contain those receivers again like we kind of saw the previous time when they played? It's that weird game of what are they going to do? Are they going to be slaves to what worked before? Or are they going to try and add some more and do something different? I think don't get too pretty. Do what got you there and make the Chiefs take you out of that. So I think they should be chucking it, to be completely honest. As much as I want to say it, put Mahomes on the sidelines, make this thing into a shoot. Do it.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines is the best place for him. But, you know, something that I think that they're playing with, and another reason why I think the Raiders win this game Sunday night, I just feel like they're playing with such confidence right now, and they're flying around. And look, I know Cleve Ferrell, if he's out, and LaMarcus Joyner, that's a big deal. But I just feel like they're flying around, and with that confidence and kind of swagger that they're playing with, that goes a long ways. And when you believe in yourself, as they have obviously shown in this three-game winning streak, that can go a long way. And you feel like you're kind of playing with house money, not to be a Las Vegas pun, but it's kind of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. And the thing that sticks out to me in terms of the confidence factor is, you know, Jeff even said after I was talking to him about the interception that he had, the second one, and he said, you know, I got to hand it to the coaches. They put us in the right positions. They had a good book on the offense for the Broncos. So it's clear that they have confidence in their coaching staff, and that's a long way, because if you go into it confident in what you're doing and think you have a good book on a team, and also how could they make the Chiefs ready, that confidence is going to be huge in that sense. But then also the fact that no matter who it's been, offense, defense, whatever, backups, whoever it is, they come in and they execute. So they've found something. They found some sort of potency that they've used that has enabled them to execute no matter who's in the game, and whether it's along the offensive line or when they got in more, whoever it is. So that has to be sky high for them. And on a young team, too, it's got a lot of guys that are fairly young playing and then making a difference for you. Confidence is that, because those guys checked out of it. Good luck beating anybody, but if you give a team confidence, that's a really scary thing.
Jesse, you know, you look around the NFL, the Raiders are starting to get a little of that national attention because they have a 6-3 record. And the league is in such a strange place because we're seeing, I mean, look what's happened in the NFC. The NFC East is just absolutely brutal. There's been a lot of surprises. You know, the Seahawks looked unstoppable to start the year. Now they're struggling. So the Raiders sitting at 6-3, the Dolphins sitting at 6-3. What do you make of this NFL season this year and where the Raiders can play in there? Because, you know, our serial caller, Gangster Raider, says, hey, look, he's now thinking this team can go to the Super Bowl. I'm not there yet. But in this type of COVID-19 season, really anything could happen, couldn't it?
Hey, I mean, crazier things have happened, right? 2020 keeps surprising us. Maybe the Raiders will. I'm with you, Scott. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they should be in that conversation. But I definitely think that they're in the playoff conversation. And once you play, anything can happen. And given 2020 and COVID, you don't know who's going to be available and who's not going to be. I mean, teams could have an entire group wiped out but still have to play playoffs, and this is the NFL, and we're going to keep. So, I mean, I'm with you, man. Anything can happen. I just got to pump the brakes on the Super Bowl. Maybe give them a couple more free agency classes, things like that, and let's see this defense continue to do it against good teams. I will stop bagging on the defense if they have a good weekend against. I always say, I want to see more. I want to see more. Well, if they do it against the Chiefs twice, even though they gave up two last, I'll shut my mouth and I'll say Raider Nation got a good defense.
And Jesse, before I let you go, if the Raiders do beat the Chiefs on Sunday, do you think they tie up that division? Do you think they're going to win the division?
I mean, you beat the Chiefs the way the rest of the schedule works out for you. I mean, you got to be liking where you're at if you're a Raiders. So, yeah, I'll come out and say if they beat the Chiefs this weekend, I think they're going to win the division.
All right. There you go. Jesse Merrick always joins us on Tuesday. Jesse, we always appreciate your insights and adding to the conversation here, my friend. We will talk to you next week, and we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Jesse Merrick. And I agree with him. I think if they win Sunday, Q, like you say they're going to, you'd have to lose two of those games in the division, right? I mean, I just think the Raiders get on a roll. It's going to be hard to stop them.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, like I said, that confidence continues to grow. We'll see. I like to take it week by week and just see how it shakes out. You know, maybe the Raiders just have their number. Like, there was a time, you know, and Tom Cable, I believe, was the head coach when the Raiders went undefeated in their division and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I believe they went 8-8 that year. They won every game in their division and a couple outside and did not make the playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done, but I like the direction that the team is going. One quick note, in that game that they had against Kansas City the first time, why I keep saying that, you know, I think that it's going to be a very balanced attack and you're going to see, you know, the Raiders possess the ball for a long time. I mean, that's what they did the first time they played, week five.
Yep.
They had the ball for 35 minutes.
Yeah, that second half was
to Kansas City's 24.
Yeah, didn't Kansas
City do that? you're winning.
Didn't Kansas City only have three or four possessions the second half, I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was insane. And look, I mean, Derek Carr still threw the ball 31 times and had a good day doing it. So, I mean, that goes back to what you're saying about throwing the ball around the yard. But just the time of possession is so critical 9 times out of 10. It doesn't always mean you're going to win the game. The Raiders have proven that. But, you know, it's really a good factor if you can do that.
Yeah, it goes back to something you said earlier, which is balance, right? You can run the ball and throw the ball around the yard too. Mm-hmm. And in that first game, they certainly did both in different times too. It was phases of the game through the first and second half, which were a little bit different, but it worked and they came away with the victory. By the way, with Joyner out in the slot, our guest yesterday, Nevin Lawson, I would assume moves into the slot cornerback position, Q, and then also Vic Tafer from The Athletic reporting Corey Littleton probably not returning this week, so Nicholas Marr will be back out there, which is a good thing.
Okay. Well, then Nick Robertson, too. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more burn.
All right. Yeah, exactly. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, he needs to. He needs experience because you get on the field. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was reading a note from Bobby and I got distracted. All right, we're going on the phones real quick before we go to break. It's our good friend Matt in Hoboken. Matt, how you doing today on this Tuesday?
What's up, guys? I got a few points today.
Okay.
All right.
I think Colton Miller needs to play this week for us to have a real shot at winning this game. He's a big part. Losing Joyner, I think, is an addition by subtraction. He doesn't make many big plays, and I think I don't think Gruden will throw Amik Robinson out there in a game like this. I think you'll see Nevin Lawson and maybe even Isaiah Johnson in the slot. The Cleveland Farrell loss, if he's not available, is a loss more so than Joyner, but we have bodies there now with Key, Nassib, and Irvin, I think, so if they could fill in, it shouldn't be that bad. I think we had our best defensive performance of the year this past week without Littleton on the field, so maybe there's something to that. I don't think 9 wins is going to be enough to get us in the wild card, even with that third spot. If you're looking at this wild card competition this year, it's real deal. There's, I think, 4 teams with 6 wins vying for that spot. I think we're going to need to win 10 games to get in that. I wouldn't be surprised if Farrell and Joyner test positive if the league comes down on us again and maybe takes another draft pick away. That's something to look at. And the last thing I'll say is, so Tariq Hill can flash the peace sign in our faces every time he scores a touchdown, but we can't drive the bus around the stadium a few times after we crack them.
Amen.
I say next time we beat them at Arrowhead, we fly the plane over the stadium.
Matt in Hoboken. That's a mic drop right there. I love it, buddy. Thank you so much. And you're right. I've seen some people tweeting that, oh, we're going to lose another draft pick. Look, you do not lose. Teams have not been punished for guys testing positive.
No.
They've been punished for violating protocol. Violating protocol, if you test positive and you've gone through and you've worn your bracelet and you just do your thing, and even if you went to the grocery store and you wore your mask and you got COVID, you don't get punished for that. So I hear what you're saying, Matt, but again, I'm not going to jump to victim mentality. I don't think they're going to get punished for players testing positive. We haven't seen that from the NFL anywhere. Really?
No. It's look, if you get reckless and do stuff that goes against the protocol, that's when you get caught up, but not before. Not if it's just one of those cases that just happens to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're up against a break here. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 702-365-9200. Tell me how you're feeling about this news today, more COVID news with the Raiders, and also, of course, the Chiefs game coming up. And we'll talk a little more, too, about the Raiders rising in the rankings nationally among the pundits. We'll talk about what that means here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.